is a quiet light that shines in every heart. It draws no attention to itself, though it always is secretly there. It is what illuminates our minds to see beauty, our desire to seek possibility, and our hearts to love life. Those are the opening lines of one of my favorite books. In fact, I've given more copies of this book than to people than any other. It's called To Bless the Space Between Us. And it was written by John O'Donohue, a magnificent Irish priest and poet, philosopher, and teacher. It would be infinitely lonely to live in a world without blessing, he writes. The word blessing evokes and protection. It suggests that no life is alone or unreachable. Each life is clothed in a raiment of spirit that secretly links it to everything else. What is that invisible spark, that quiet light that resides within us, that seeks connection with God, with self, with other? What is that tiny kernel of spiritual energy that split like an atom generates infinite drive for union with God, with self, and with other? One of the hymns that we often sing at Plymouth contains the line, "I will hold the Christ light for you in the shadow of your fear." What is that Christ light within us? And how do we let it shine and let it spread beyond ourselves to illumine the lives of others? Positive connection between one soul and another is possible, and the connection can be made through blessing, which builds a bridge of spirit and goodness and health and love and healing between one person and another. And it's something that we just don't do as often as we might. I mean, except in Jane Ann's children's time this morning. When was the last time you blessed someone? You offered a blessing, an explicit blessing to someone. You know, at the end of every service, you receive a benediction, literally a good word or well wishing from the minister. It's the most obvious form of blessing in our order of worship, and we take it very seriously as conferring spiritual blessing on you, even those who are watching at home. And there are other blessings as well. Every time we celebrate communion, the minister offers a prayer of consecration over the simple elements of bread and wine, setting them aside as holy with a blessing. When we baptize children or adults, we bless them in the name of the triune God. And every week, at least during non-pandemic times, we do two things with the offering. After the deacons have collected it, we sing it forward down the center aisle with a doxology that usually says something like, "Praise God from whom all blessings flow." They don't just drip, they don't dribble, they flow. And in some African American churches I've visited, when the deacons bring the offering down the center aisle, it is danced down the center aisle. It's not a stately walk. It's a dance. It's a celebration. And then together we say a unison prayer of dedication, of blessing. We bless the offerings that have been made. We can bless things as well as people. I remember one of the coolest blessings that I got to do when I was in divinity school. I was serving a tiny church in Kittery Point, Maine, and the adult ed class in the town built these beautiful wooden kayaks. And so they asked me to come out and bless the fleet. So I got to go out and bless the fleet. And Jane Ann was telling me yesterday that a common friend of ours, who's an Episcopal priest, who's got a very heavy Yorkshire accent, was asked to go out and bless the Arapaho hunt, you know, but in their like red riding jackets. But instead of the beagles chasing a fox, they were chasing a coyote. Like, only if you're an Episcopal priest do you get to do this stuff. And PETA was probably close on their tail, too. So on this Sunday, we come together to offer a blessing. It's Consecration Sunday, and we bless the pledge commitments we're making for 2022. I learned something new while preparing this sermon, that the root, the Old English root of blessing is bledsian, which means to consecrate with blood. You know, I mean, okay, Halloween's coming, right? It's like, blah, I want to bless you and suck your blood. You know, no. Different thing altogether. David Steindl-Rost, who is a Trappist monk, says, blessing is the lifeblood throbbing through the universe. So before you get totally grossed out, think about it from like a religious studies point of view or an anthropology point of view. What did most offerings in most of the world's religions look like? They were often sacrifices, sometimes grain, sometimes material wealth, sometimes animals. And in pre-Christian Celtic society, it was people, but we're not going to go there today. There will be no human sacrifices in this service, I promise. But you remember how, you know, people brought doves to the temple in Jerusalem as an offering, as a sacrifice. And even when we celebrate communion, we still repeat Jesus's words from 1 Corinthians. This is the cup of the new covenant in my blood shed for you. So we see it as a metaphor. We see lifeblood as a metaphor for the container, the vehicle of vitality and of spirit. And when we collect the offering, what do we do when the deacons bring it forward? They put it on the communion table. You know, and if I were an anthropologist having landed in this strange community that we call Plymouth, and I saw somebody bringing that forward and putting it on what looks to me like an altar, even though in the Reformed tradition we call it a communion table, I'd probably conclude that they were using that as an altar and that we're making a sacrifice of our wealth for God. So, what does consecration and blessing mean for us, we who try to be followers of Christ in the 21st century? I turn back to the 103rd Psalm, our text for today. Let my whole being bless God. Let everything inside me bless God's holy name and never forget all of God's good deeds. I really appreciate the way the Common English Bible renders that Hebrew phrase, let my whole being bless the Lord, rather than the more typical, bless the Lord, O my soul, which is beautiful, but doesn't that feel different to you? Bless the Lord, O my soul. It sounds a little bit ethereal. It feels a little less enfleshed, a little bit less something that you do with your body and your soul and your spirit. So think about that for a moment. How do you let your whole being, body, soul, and spirit turn toward God with a sense of connection that allows gratitude and love and healing and wholeness to flow through the channel of blessing? How do you reorient your life so that it isn't just saying a word of blessing on a Sunday morning or even before a meal, but rather that your actions, your thoughts, your words, your deeds become a form of blessing that you offer to God? You know, when the Apostle Paul advises us to pray without ceasing, he's not asking us to get down and kneel all day, but rather to reorient our lives in such a way that our lives themselves become a blessing, a channel of positive spiritual energy flowing between God and us and one another. In the Celtic tradition, there's a great tradition of blessing things and people and occasions. These were often learned by heart and offered as a spoken word from one person to another, or even while milking a cow or while banking up the fire at the end of the evening. And in a few moments, we'll offer a Celtic blessing from the Iona community and bless our pledges for 2022, continuing that ancient tradition using contemporary words. And when we do that, I have a favor to ask. I hope that you'll think of blessing not of those cards, not of those strips of paper that we put in the baskets, or even the online pledges that some of you may have made, but think of blessing all of the work of our members and friends that are represented in those pledges. Like stored energy that derives from our labor, and we're offering it to support the mission and ministry of this congregation. And I'm thankful that we recognize that all good gifts come from God, and that when we offer them to God in gratitude, they form a tangible blessing that helps extend God's realm through the activities of this congregation. The other wonderful thing about blessing is that it cannot be bound by geographic location or even physical separation, caused by a pandemic. A blessing can cut right through the distance. So we gather as God's people here in the sanctuary and in 100 living rooms and family rooms of our online worshipers, and we gather to express gratitude with our commitment of our financial resources for 2022. And we gather to bless them, to open a channel of positive energy between the work they represent and the mission and ministry that they'll make possible in this congregation. May the whole being of each person who comprises this congregation bless the Lord. And may God's blessing be on each of you as well. Amen.